On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, it's Extreme Makeover Offensive Line Edition. A lot of moving parts with the big guys. Derek Carr is a leader, but he does need help. And will John Gruden finally give cap resources to the defense? This episode is brought to you by our friends at Nirvana CBD at nirvanacbd.com. Use promo code AW20 for 20% off. Nirvana CBD, find your state of natural relaxation. And of course, we love and appreciate that you subscribe to the channel, rate, commentate, whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The
Raiders! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Hello again. Welcome back to another episode of the Autumn Windbags. I got Juan Soto out there in Long Beach. Away game for me. I'm actually in Las Vegas in the UFC bubble. I'll be working UFC 259 this weekend. Three title fights.
Four belts. Big card
coming up on Saturday. The beautiful thing about MMA is there's no off season. But the good thing about the NFL off season is it's never boring. So if you want to know what it's like to have an extra $9 million laying around, Soto, just ask the Las Vegas Raiders. Why, RJ? Why do they have $9 million laying around?
Why? I'm asking you. Why, RJ?
Where do they come from? Is it just in the couch? Like, is that just like, less than a year of John Gruden's salary and he dropped it somewhere because he's getting old and senile? No! Gabe Jackson, longtime Raider guard, drafted in the middle of 2014 in that legendary 2014 draft class with Khalil Mack and Derek Carr. Gabe Jackson released by the Raiders. And this was with a lot of the guys that are getting like traded and released, Soto, I'm kind of like good. Like they were dead weight. I want the cap space. With Gabe Jackson, I'm like, he was a good locker room guy, solid player. He rarely was the guy that like, he rarely heard his name, right? Wasn't like,
which is a good thing if you're a lineman.
Good thing if you're a lineman. Just at $9 million with all the holes that the Raiders have, I would say this is slightly surprising, but not at all shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's slightly surprising. It's one of the names I brought up last week as far as being able to, cut ties with. He's a victim of the McKenzie contract that he had. That's just numbers game. And when you take a look at how well the line performed last year without two starters, I mean, it kind of points to how good Miller and Hudson are, that they can anchor that line and they can put complementary pieces along with it. That's not going to be an appreciable drop off in production. So business wise, it makes sense as long as you can get the guys to come in and play, somewhat to that level.
This also means that Richie Incognito is, I would imagine, the Raiders want to bring back. Now, he's 38 years old. He's older, but his cap hit is about half. And when he was playing, when he is healthy, even at 38, he's one of the best guards in football.
He was a mauler, dude.
Beautiful. Like, we talk about how bad the Raiders have been in free agency the last few seasons.
That's a good pickup.
Credit where credit is due. Picking Richie Incognito off the scrap heap.
He wasn't even on the scrap heap. He was on the couch. He was retired. Yeah. He didn't play in 2019. Mm-hmm. Or 2018, excuse me. He played for us in 19 and 20. He got hurt. But yeah, man, he was on the couch. I'm done. Nice career. Thanks a lot. Sail to the sunset. And he just got talked into playing. He had the itch, but still, I mean, he got talked into coming back to us. And the $5 million off the couch probably didn't hurt. But yeah, man, he played really well. He played for half the cap hit. I mean, yeah, these are the kind of decisions that you have to make if you're the Raiders, because you need to even out the money. Like I talked about almost a month ago. So can we get some of that flash on the defense?
Yeah.
Can we get some of those splash signings on the defense and not all of them on the offense? So let's see it. Let's see what we got.
So let's get into that, because Gabe Jackson getting released, there are reports from Ian Rappaport from NFL. He tweeted Wednesday morning, "The Raiders have had talks about potentially dealing tackle Trent Brown," source said, "and with few available tackles in free agency, Las Vegas has a shot." So Trent Brown is the second highest paid player on the roster, due $14 million
in 2021. So I was asked that. So our friend Heidi Fang had me on her podcast last week. And she was like, so is Trent Brown like a guaranteed gone? I was like, I don't know. I don't think guaranteed gone. One, like, you think of like Terrell Williams gone, LaMarcus Joyner gone, Marcus Mariota gone. Like those are like top six earners on the Raiders who have given us basically close to zero. Right. So those are no brainers. Mm-hmm. Trent Brown, when he's healthy, he's one of the best right tackles in football. And that leaves, you know, literally and metaphorically a giant hole in that offensive line that just lost Gabe Jackson. Would you want Trent Brown gone? Would you only trade him if you got value for him? Is he a guy that you'd cut? Is he a guy you'd roll the dice on again and hope he's healthy? Like, where are you on Trent Brown?
I view Trent Brown like Mariota. Get what you can for him. Get what you can for him. Mm-hmm. He's not worth what we're paying him for, not for our team, because the drop off, it was not an appreciable drop off when he was gone. And I'll say it again. AJ Hawk said at our very first guest, AJ Hawk's like, you wanted to practice and you wanted to play because you don't want the coaches to see and get used to you not being there.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. They got used to a big number not being there. And they're like, it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad. So that's how I view Mariota. Mariota, if we can get something for Mariota, sweet. If we can't, we got to cut him.
Yeah.
Same thing with Trent Brown, man. It's just too big of a number. You have too many needs other places, and the drop off really wasn't that big.
Yeah. So like that, and that was the thing. That was like the one question mark with Trent Brown that I had is, unlike Joyner, unlike Mariota, like he delivered for us when he was on the field, the rare times he was on there. But if you take Gabe Jackson and Trent Brown, that's almost $24 million in cap space that just got freed up. Man. Trent Brown, the second highest paid player on our team, Gabe Jackson, the fifth highest. I think Rodney Hudson is just slightly a little bit more than Gabe Jackson. So you've cut two of the five biggest earners on the team, $25 million in cap space. I mean, that is a all pro safety and like depth in the defensive line. Like there's so, you can make a giant splash. Let's say, you know, they already got rid of Terrell Williams. They're going to get rid of Joyner. They're going to get rid of Mariota. You're looking at $35 million to so play with
24. Mariota's a little over 10, right? Nine and change, something like that.
11 mil.
Oh, is it 11? Okay. So that's 35. We're looking at 35. Mm-hmm. Joyner, even with his dead money, we owe him, I think it's like a little
2.5 mil. Nothing.
Yeah. We owe him 2.5, but dead in salary on top of that. No.
His cap hits 11.2. And then the dead money is only 2.5.
So we're saving what, like eight something, nine?
8.7, yeah.
Okay, 8.7.
I'm not doing these numbers off the top of my head. I'm looking at a graph.
Let's just call it nine. Let's just call it nine for my sake.
I'm a human calculator.
Yeah, so we got 35, so that's 44. And then what was the last one we said?
Mariota, Joyner. Williams is already gone.
So what was that? What was Williams, 11?
Williams is 11.6.
44, so that's 55.
That's
55 million right there.
That's a big. So this is the thing. So like the Trent Brown rumor, so it could be that this is just rumors that the Raiders put out there to try to get like
people going.
Yeah, get a buzz, see what's out there, see people are interested in him. Cuz Rapoport is right, like there's not a lot of right tackles and free agents, not a lot of good ones out there. So they might get something decent for him. But let's say they do trade him or cut him or whatever it may be. That leads me to two big things. One, we'll talk about what the offensive line is going to look like, because it used to be the heart and soul of this team. It may still be. But two, the big thing is like with all of these moves, all of these offensive players getting the hatchet, is this the time where John Gruden finally put some cap space and muscle into the defense? Because for a while, it was always like 2/3 of the cap was on his offense, expensive O-line, whatever random receiver, Antonio Brown, Terrell Williams, he wanted to overpay. And now it's like having as bad of a defense as Paul Gunther gave us for the last three seasons. Is this finally the wake-up call from John Gruden, who's going to say, you know what, we're gonna dump some cash into our defense because we can't win without it?
Goddamn, I hope so.
Me too.
I want that disruptive D-tackle. I want that disruptive D. We haven't had it. We haven't had it in a long time. A disruptive D tackle who could get pressure up the middle, the safety, the ball hawk, leader in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the two big asks for me. If we can get a pass rusher or a linebacker or whatever, you know, I'm down with that too. But yeah, man. I hope so, because we need it. We need to even it out. We've been talking about it, you know, since the very first podcast that we did here is so much of the resources on offense. And then the offense is doing great, but okay, well, let's see what we can get by without paying as much. And that's what they're doing, to their credit. Williams, gone. Jackson, gone. Brown, you know,
maybe gone.
We'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, man, that's a lot of money tied up. And, I mean, the backups were playing just as well.
And that's also – it's – you know, is he finally going to look to the defense good? And then also that at the O-line situation, the Raiders had the most expensive offensive line last season in all of football, and they played good, like better than average, especially their pass blocking. Awesome. Pass blocking, the run blocking fell back a little bit. Like Jacobs had not an off year, but like he fell back a little bit. Our run game, I think, dropped a little bit. But with those two guys gone, like, are we $25 million worse of an offensive line? No. And I'm the last person that's saying, all right, let's take resources away from the offensive line because their offense is built around it so much. Like Derek Carr fumbles a lot, not a mobile quarterback. Like you gotta protect his ass. You need car insurance, you know? Isn't Deshaun Watson, who can just, you know, run circles around everybody if the line's not blocking, like you need protection there. But I'd rather have $25 million thrown in the defense and have our line be 12% worse than spend 25, you know, then hurt the defense with all that money that we can't spend on them, and then have our O-line be good, but guys get hurt. You know, is Gabe Jackson that much better than Simpson, who'll probably step up for him? No. Depth, though. Now it's depth for me in the offensive line that I'm most worried about.
Yeah, that's where they're going to have to, those middle round selections, that find those guys from the way that teams pluck guys away from us. Mm-hmm. I keep coming back to watching Feliciano just maul people for the Bills. And it's like, fuck, man, what the hell happened to that? He was one of our guys, dude. And it's just like, fuck, man. Anyway. But yeah, we have to find those guys on practice squads and other teams. We got to find them. That's what we have to do now. We can't just go out there and just start throwing money around because we saw what happened. Let's throw all this money around to these guys who, you know, historically, theoretically, you don't spend that much money on a unit like the offensive line. Mm-hmm. A couple guys here and there, but not the whole offensive line. You can't have three of your top paid players on the offensive line. It just doesn't work because you have big gaps in other parts of the team, and like the defense, like almost the whole defense. So,
I mean, you could only rationalize spending that kind of money on the offensive line if you're just running over everybody. Like if you're
running team,
dude. If you're just like getting like 7 yards per carry, just crushing it in the red zone, Miller and Hudson, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
Cognito are just like maiming fools, and you're like, okay.
You said it. Like in the red zone, they know what you're gonna do. Like the fucking Titans. You know what the hell they're going to do in the red zone, and it still fucking works. And it's not all Derrick Henry. He's got some holes to run through, and it's not all him. He's a big part of it, but that offensive line is a pancake offensive line. If you have that, okay, I guess you can say, you know what, it's worth it. But we don't have that. And even when Trent Brown was healthy, we didn't have that.
So what's our offensive line look like next season, and are you happy with it? So, you know, assume Colton Miller stays on left tackle.
Yep.
Let's assume Richie Incognito comes back at $5 million or so, left guard. Obviously Rodney Hudson center.
Simpson.
And then Simpson right guard. And then what are we going to do at right tackle?
If they can get a re-sign good.
Hopefully good, right?
There's not a lot of tackles out there, but good is there.
Otherwise it's like Brandon Parker or something,
maybe look at the draft.
So that's a good line. That's a good line. If we get good back, Incognito's back, I'm happy with that line. That's $25 million cheaper, solid, still a much above average team. And maybe also this could be conversely what gets John Gruden to do what so many fans are begging him to do, and Derek Carr specifically, throw the ball. Like, if you're not going to have like a giant mauling offensive line that you're just going to like be able to get 4 yards no matter what in a cloud of dust. Like I think John Gruden wanted, like, all right, maybe we're going to throw more because we're not going to just be just physical beasts up front.
Well, yeah. And maybe they'd be a little bit less predictable in your runs too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there were games where they ran, you know, out of different formations, but they ran like under like five and under different running plays. It's like, come on, man. Like just switch it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man. I mean, if they have a little bit smaller, but a little bit more mobile, you can do a few different things with them. There's, you know, Gabe Jackson was not that he was a liability out there, but I mean, there's, you know, maybe not the most mobile guy. Same thing with Brown. I mean, he's just a big dude, gets in the way of people. And, you know, when he gets his hands on you, it's just not easy to move that much weight, that much mass around.
So these guys are all there because they're car insurance. And for some reason, Derek Carr is such a controversial topic for so many people, you included Soto. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. You know, I had to jump on this week when.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. You know, RG's jumping all over this. Every single person had a microphone in his face in like a 3-day period who represents the silver and black was talking about Derek Carr and how great he is. And how awesome he is, and what a great leader he is. Mike Mayock did a press conference. He said, I think Derek Carr has earned a lot of respect around this league from an awful lot of people. I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. If you're asking me about Derek, I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr. And this was the response to a question that was put pretty cleverly. He's like, when top five quarterbacks sound like they're available, are you kind of forced as a GM to do your due diligence and make some calls? And Mayock kind of saw through that and just said, look, Derek Carr's our guy. He's the dude we want. Your tricky, slippery question is going to get by me, bro.
That was nice. Who asked that question? Because that was a nice question.
I don't remember, but I can look it up for you.
Yeah, that was a nice question. Yeah. I like that.
Because obviously the answer is yes, right? Like you... And Mayock's like, all right, like every single position, you should always be looking to upgrade at all times. That's your job as a GM. But there's a difference between like actively trying to move on from somebody and just doing your general due diligence. And I think and really the answer to that question that Mike Mayock can't say is, yeah, like if Deshaun Watson fell in our lap, yeah. If Russell Wilson fell in our lap, yeah. But I think his answer is, you know, simply, we're not going to give away Derek Carr and 3 first-rounders for these guys. We have too many holes to fill.
Makes sense. I mean, it's what is your philosophy? Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe the philosophy on both sides of the ball, you have to take a look at the philosophy on the defensive side. You have a lot of draft picks that are starting because you just don't put money into the defense. Mm-hmm. It's call it what it is. You're not signing guys. You're not signing free agents, big time free agents to start free agent starters, at least a lot of them. And so a lot of these young kids that you're drafting, those are the ones that are starting.
Yeah.
On the offensive side, you have Simpson, who was what, like a second or third round pick. He's blossomed nicely. And he's blossomed nicely. So, hey, this is a guy that's going to be able to help us moving forward. Okay. So it works both ways. But if you can't be, you know, flip-flopping back and forth, you have to pick a way of how you're going to handle free agents of the draft. Are you going to use your draft picks like a commodity, like mm-hmm. an old Jimmy Johnson thing, like trading picks back and forth, up and down? Are you going to use them like that? Or are you going to really, you know, scout them and accrue as many picks as you can and hope that they blossom in the near future? So it's, you know, a couple of different ways you want to look at it, but hopefully we start filling some holes and these guys start panning out a little bit quicker than they have been.
Brent Musburger, the new play-by-play voice for the Raiders, was on Rich Eisen's show.
How dare you mispronounce Rich Eisen's name?
Rich's show on Monday. And he was asked about Derek Carr and, you know, Deshaun Watson and all these, you know, potential quarterbacks. And Musburger said, I have to tell you that I'm a little disappointed by the continuing chatter about the Raiders. You know, Deshaun Watson's name, of course, came up, and it's impossible. And it's possible he'll be moving on from Houston. Derek Carr's offense was more productive than Deshaun Watson's. Now, I'm not saying that Derek Carr is a better prospect, but people need to look at what Derek accomplished last year with the 8 wins. The problem that they lost 8 games was never on Derek Carr. It was completely on the Raider defense. So, and Alec Ingold also chimed in this week, defending Derek Carr. So a little part of me, Soto, thinks like, all right, you have all these guys, announcers, offensive teammates, GMs, all within like a 72-hour period, pouring love all over Derek Carr. Is it genuine? Is it them just giving the standard issue line? Is it them trying to hype up his trade value? I don't think Engel would do that, but you know, Musburger, Mayock, maybe. Like, is it? Am I reading too much into it? Is it one of those three?
I just think it's. That's how they genuinely feel.
Me too.
It's just if they're just trying to fluff and then and not trying to hype up, you know, they're just trying to toe the company line. They didn't have to go above and beyond and say what they said.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a lot more of a canned answer that you hear from. A different variation of the same answer, but it's everyone's in something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I really do think that they feel that way. And I mean, I don't have to agree or disagree with what they want to do. And ultimately, I never said that he was a terrible quarterback. I just doubted that some of the issues that he had, he was going to be able to get over, because that's not usually some things that a quarterback gets over with time. But mm-hmm. If they agree with if they want them and the whole organization is on the same page, then all right, let's move forward. Let's see what we can do.
So I saved the last comment on Derek Carr for the end, and that's for a specific reason, because he's our best offensive weapon. Darren Waller went on Good Morning Football this week, and he was asked like all the standard issue lines, like, oh, you're a drug addict and you overcame it. Tell us about your podcast. Like all the fluff that Raiders fans hear a million times. But he was asked two things. And the first answer was pretty canned, but take a listen to the second answer. Here they are.
So I want to ask you, one, what do you think about him as a quarterback? And is he the guy that can lead your team into the playoffs? And what's something that people don't know about your quarterback?
Yeah, I have all the belief in the world in Derek Carr. I have ever since I got here, and I still do to this day. I think he's a guy that can take us everywhere that we want to go. And something that people don't know about Derek Carr, I mean, just how much that he cares about every single teammate on the team. He doesn't see himself as better than anyone. He wants to lift people up and to go to the place that he's been, have the success that he's had in this league. And that really stands out to me about him. And that makes you not want to let him down. And when you don't want to let somebody down, that goes a long way.
Okay. So listen to what he said and also listen to what he didn't say, right? The first answer is a canned answer. Yeah, he can take us to the Super Bowl. He's going to be great. Yeah,
we believe we have all the faith in him.
All the faith in the world. Like all the things you got to say, right? The next thing he said was like, tell us something that we don't know about Derek Carr. Notice what Darren Waller didn't say. He didn't say he gets the deep ball to me great. He reads the defense fantastic. He's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. You know, he's going to do X, Y, and Z. He said he genuinely cares about his team, which that's kind of a random thing to say. Like you have to be like, that has to be a really, really big personality trait for that be the first thing that comes to your mind is, yeah, he cares about all 53 guys on our roster.
Yeah, man, you know, it's ultimately, we know what Carr's arm is. We know where he can read defenses. He makes all those checks the line. We know that he can do that. We know he's smart enough. We know he's talented enough to make the throws. He connects enough. Jesus, he connects enough with Waller. Mm. God damn it. How fucking handsome is that guy? God damn it. It's unfair. It's so unfair. That freaking skin and those light eyes. God damn it.
I think my wife's going to be banned from watching Raider games.
Yeah, next season. She can no longer, especially when his helmet comes off. Like, stop it.
Oh, yeah. Because every time he gets a touchdown, hat comes like off, gets a flex.
Smile comes up. Get out of here with that.
And he's the bad boy with the tats and the shady pass that turned around. I could change him. Oh,
he's the bad boy done good.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Fuck anyway, him. Let's go back before I start getting verklempt over here. No, It's something that's not, and you and I both played, and you and I have played multiple sports and different things and been on teammates and all that stuff. It's a big thing when you're the leader on your team, you feel that he does genuinely care about whether you do well or not. It's not just the team doing well. He wants you
block
to
block for
well
me too. So I look good. Catch the ball. No, so I look good. Look good.
You look good because you're doing your job and you're doing great. And even you hear it in his interviews. He's always pumping up other guys. Maybe some guys you don't even think of. Mm-hmm. He's pumping these guys up. Hey, these guys are doing great in practice. This guy specifically is really bringing it in practice, and it translates into the game. I had all the confidence in the world. Like he pumped up Simpson when Simpson came in, and he's like, this Simpson's been killing it in practice. He comes in and it just translates to the game. No difference. We had all the confidence in the world in him. We wouldn't skip a beat. And that type of stuff, that if it's consistent and the guys buy into it, there's a reason why they rally around him so much, because he's their guy. He's their guy. And if that's the feeling that people have for him, I've been on teams where we hated our quarterback.
Yeah.
We hated that motherfucker. He was a little cocky dick. And he was like, man, we just don't like you. You're kind of an asshole. So, I mean, if you get sacked, I mean, just, well, I'll just look over at the tackle and be like, well, whatever. It should happen. No,
my bad.
For him. Yeah, it's like, whoopsie. Sorry about that. I should have made that call. My bad.
Missed my read. Oh, I'm all thumbs today.
Sorry about that one.
Well, a couple of things for me is, like, one, it's from Darren Waller, right? It's from, like, the best offensive weapon the Raiders have. So I think it carries a lot of weight there too. But two, I think there's also been so many questions about Derek Carr, the leader. Is he the leader in the locker room? Is he the general? Is he the captain of this ship? And I think so many people have a very kind of narrow view of what a leader is. Rah, rah. Like, it's Tom Brady, like, yelling at people, or Aaron Rodgers yelling at people, or, you know, or like a Pete Carroll who, like, puts his arms around you and, like, you're fine, buddy. Like, you know, let me take care of your sensibilities and your emotions. And then there's Derek Carr, who's a leader where it's like, shit, I want to do great for him. He makes the most on this team. He gets the most attention on this team. You know, he's an NFL quarterback with all the bells and whistles that come with it. And he cares about John Simpson, rookie or, young player, like, not a starter.
It was a second year kind of rotational.
What's going to happen with him? Bench, right. And it's like,
bench guy.
Yeah. And it's like, he makes us feel special. I think that's a level, because especially with the story that Vic Tafer from The Athletic came out with about a month ago, I felt Nelson Agholor came in after the Miami game and just ripped everybody. You guys got to get your act together. You guys got to hold each other accountable. X, Y, Z. And everyone's like, where's Derek Carr? Where this should be Carr's job. He's the general. He's the captain. He's the quarterback. And it's like, that's not Derek. He can get the most out of you in other ways.
Yeah. The thing is, it's in situations like that, when you know that your leader is an extremely hard worker and he goes out of his way to make those connections with you individually, it's not so much what he says, it's what he doesn't say.
Yeah.
When he doesn't come back around behind in little groups and kind of mingles in with a little different cliques on the team. Hey guys, you know what? It's a little rough game. He's probably a little bit this and that. Don't worry about it. If he doesn't say that, that means he's co-signing with what Nelson Agholor said.
Yeah.
He's just not that guy. And ultimately, who is an effective leader? An effective leader is somebody who can get everyone on the same page to buy in. Mm-hmm. That's an effective leader. There's a bunch of different ways you can do it. And Derek Carr has his way of doing it, which is lead by example. He goes out there and he's the guy that works hard. He's on the field. He doesn't take, he very rarely gets hurt. When he does, he gets back quickly. He's pushing. He's always talking about his guys. He's not the problem with the Raiders. I'm concerned with, is he the answer to get them where they want to go?
He has a leadership quality and a type of leadership that works, but it also needs to be supplemented with, like, a rah-rah Nelson Agholor guy, right? Like, if he's the dude that makes everybody care and everyone's, like, buying in, he's a leader by example, great, awesome. Like, that's needed. You need that in football. Mm-hmm. But then when people, like, when a team blows a game like the Dolphins game, or the team falls apart after Thanksgiving and back-to-back seasons, you do need someone who's going to grab your face mask, look at you in the face, scream, spit in your eye, and say, get your shit together. And that's not Derek. That's not how Derek operates. So as long as you have somebody like that, because it seems like the Raiders, all their leaders are just kind of like quiet, respectful leaders by example. Rodney
Hudson, like, it's like, hey, come on, guys. Come on. We can do this. We can do this. No, it's, look, there's different levels of consciousness here. There's the lowest level is when you make mistakes and you just don't get it. You don't understand where the mistakes are being made. You don't understand what's going into those mistakes. That's the lowest level. The next level on top of that is that you get it after you're reminded. Hey, these are the mistakes you're making. You see, this is what you did. Oh, yeah, I get it. I get it. The next level is being able to identify those mistakes as they're happening, right? And then on top, the very top level is being able to identify your mistakes as they're happening, also identify them before they happen, and also being able to tell the people around you about the mistakes that are potentially about to happen. So if you're able to like see ahead, hey guys, you know, watch out for this, watch out for that. That's the highest level of consciousness when you play football. And where is he on that? And it's all about the communication when we get into that, as far as where he is on that scale. From all reports, super smart guy, has a good handle of the offense, but we need that guy that's going to stop that Falcons game in the middle of the first quarter. Like, listen, guys, we're
this down. Is getting away from us fast.
We need this to happen right now, and not fumble again, not do this and that, not have a three and out. When your defense actually stops and you get a good punt return, and you do get a three and out right away. It's like, this is the things that you can't have anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the see the mistakes before they happen. You know, your defense just played off their ass over their head because they're not playing that well right now. They got us the ball back right away. We down two scores, but let's go ahead and let's make the three and out. It's not going to work, man. It just can't happen. It can't happen. So,
you know what the Raiders need? Because the Raiders have Derek Carr, who's a very good leader in his own right in a certain way. The Raiders need like a Wolf of Wall Street. They just need some dude who's just going to be like, in your face. All right, let's get some little people. We'll see how far we can toss them. Let's get everyone jacked up. Get everyone excited. I'm not going anywhere. Like, you need someone to give those speeches. You know, like, you need that yin to Derek Carr's yang. Just like a loud in your face dude.
I'm ready for that meme, that video of Derek Carr his face on Jordan Belfort's body. I'm not fucking leaving. When he signs that contract extension and all the Raiders are in the crowd. Yeah! But man, I'm telling you, this is going to be, I mean, there was another interview. I think it might've been the same one with Darren Waller, where he was saying how there's no more excuses now. They have to play. They have to make the playoffs. They have to push forward. They can't toil in this 8-8, 7-9 anonymity anymore. They can't do it, because that's the worst place to be. We've talked about this before. That's one of the worst places you could be in, is just one of those ham and egg, or, you know, 7-9, 8-8 teams that just don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're perennially picking, you know, in the high teens in the draft. So you're not really getting those super impact players early in the draft. And you're not able to fill those holes because you're a really good team with one or two players here and there every offseason. So you're constantly having to sign a lot of people, constantly not picking at the very top of the draft in the first round of the draft.
And it goes back to leadership again, because there's so many young players on this team, specifically the defense and our receiver room, right? Like, leadership is such a big part of it. And the pressure is legit next season. Like, these young guys, it's like, what's the pressure? Like, I'm going to play for 10 more years. But the older guys, they're like, all right, we know we have something clicking here. We got a top 10 quarterback, got a good offensive line, all pro tight end, all pro running back. Our defense is littered with high priced free agents and first rounders, like new defensive coordinator, our second year in Vegas, like,
let's go.
There's pieces.
It's go like time. It's go time.
Teams have won playoff games with so far less pieces place. It's just not meshing correctly. And that's leadership. And that's hopefully these young guys getting their shit together.
We need to have impact players coming out of this draft. Mm-hmm. we're going to have your hits and misses in free agency. You'd love to say, yeah, we need to sign all these stars and great. Yeah, that's great. But there's injuries and guys just maybe not the right scheme fit for whatever reason, or, you know, they didn't, you know, their chick doesn't want to move to Vegas because, you know, all those bitches out there in Vegas and the pole and all that stuff. Who knows? Not all of them are going to pan out the way you thought. Littleton was like the end all be all, like, oh my God, this guy's a killer. He comes over and we're like, oh wow, yeah, he didn't play that great. So it happens. So we need to get these guys from the draft. And let me ask you a question. Let's see if you can get this. I think you might get this. Who was the last first round pick, the Raiders first round pick, who signed a second contract with the Raiders? Not an extension of their first contract, but like gone. They fulfilled that contract and they signed again, re-signed again.
Well, obviously none from last season, none from two drafts ago. Khalil Mack didn't. Got to go back like five or six seasons, right? Six seasons?
Darren McFadden.
Great.
That's been that long, dude, since we've got a cornerstone piece of our team in the first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. That's shitty, man. That's real shitty. So we need to, and it's not like these guys are littered across the league doing big things for other teams. Our first round picks just aren't panning out. Or they're supplemental guys somewhere else. So it needs to happen, man. Mayock and Gruden. Dude, look, we all know that Mayock's got a little bit of a handcuff going on because Gruden's going to have the final say on things. If he's going to be a fucking – if he left his cushy job to work for John Gruden, he needs to just put his nuts on the table sometimes and put his foot down and say, dude, this is not what we need to do right now. This is what we need. And if he doesn't agree – he just can't be that get a goal.
The Raiders need to win just for Mayock's mental health. The guy just looks so defeated every single time.
Every time he asks the question.
And the media questions are always like, why isn't the defense good? Like, what do you got? They're always like, what? Why can't you get some like good draft picks? And just like, I miss doing TV.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man.
That's his fucking job, right? Answer these questions.
Worst comes to worst. Fucking Gruden just... I can't work with him. He's fired.
Well, look,
go back to TV.
If the Raiders have a losing record next season, or like things don't improve next season, I think Mayock's the fall guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Like John Gruden's not going to fall on his shield. It's going to be like, oh no, it's Mayock. Yeah, oh, no. And I don't buy it, but you can make the case, right? Like, oh, all these draft picks didn't pan out. It's Mayock's fault. We're going to move on.
Yeah, like, you can always say it, but I mean,
Paul Gunther, like, all right, I can point the finger at Paul Gunther and say, like, that was a problem. Let's improve. Mayock, I feel like the good draft picks ooze, like, just smell of a Mayock pick. Mm-hmm. And the swings and misses just reek of a John Gruden pick.
That's where he needs to put his foot down, man. Like, look, let's not outthink the room here, okay? This guy is the best player on the board. This guy is in a position of need. Let's get this guy.
But is he a grinder, Soto?
The grinder. Grind on this.
Grinder.
Done with that shit. I'm done with that. That was a shtick for TV. That's not the way you run a fucking franchise.
And it wasn't even true. Like,
no,
you Richie fucking... Incognito, who was like a problem guy. Like, obviously he panned out, but he's not one of those, like, he didn't have the reputation. He turned into one, but he didn't have the reputation of, like, oh, he's a great locker room guy and he's going to get his act together. He's opposite.
He wasn't a great locker room guy to one person. Everyone else fucking loved him. Anyway, everyone else that you look in Miami, in Buffalo, in Vegas, you ask anyone of his teammates other than one of them, and they all loved him. So you know what? Yeah. His record ain't that bad. Everyone else loved him but one dude. So, I mean, what are you going to say to that?
Yeah, I guess, like, you can make it all up, like, with one person, you know? It's like
you build a thousand bridges, right?
Right.
Dude, I mean,
you blow up on some rookie in a bar.
Yeah,
like you're making harsh words at him. It's like, yeah, I kind of forget that he got fruit baskets for all the other tackles on the team. You know,
it's like that headline doesn't really
make it.
That kid was already had. He was already mentally a little lot there. You know, he's whatever, man. God bless him. I hope he's doing well. But as far as the Raiders go, yeah, man, it's just, we can't have these fucking Gruden grinder picks anymore. We just can't have it. We can't have it. And I don't know. It's just Gruden needs to understand the dynamics of the NFL right now. You're going to have your top guys in key positions making key dollars, and you have to have young guys in there to produce. But if you're not drafting the guys that have the talent, if you're drafting grinders, you're going to get grinding results. And guess what? It takes a lot longer to grind something down than it is to nice and cleanly chop it off. You need to have that talent, man. If you're looking for a fucking grinder, I'm sorry, dude. It's just not going to happen.
You find grinders in like round 6 of the draft, not round 1.
Yeah, you don't draft grinders to be starters. Grinders eventually grow into starters. You don't draft a grinder to be a starter. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah. They need to have that talent. They need to be a player.
Rudy got to play one game. That's because he was a grinder. You know what I mean? Like that's the
grinder. He got one game because he got into the end of one game because he was a grinder.
Yeah.
That's what a grinder does. You need to just, I'm so sick of talking about this fucking grinder shit, because everybody, all my friends that know football, they want to point at that shit. And it's like, what are you going to say? It was a fucking shtick for Monday Night Football that Gruden was doing for God knows how long. It's not the way you run a fucking roster. It's not the way you construct the team. And it's just, he's just fall in love with his own fucking smell.
And there isn't like, and I honestly believe like that is a one of several qualities that you do want in a football player, right? Like I get it. Like a guy brings his lunch pail to work, puts in all the hard work, like first one there, last one back. Like there's elements of grinder that you want on a football team.
But grinder is like, a peripheral trait.
But it's like, that's all you care about. You're like, whoa. Like if you're just going by grinder, it's like, all right, just sit in front of the facility in the morning. Like, all right, whoever arrives first, those are who we're picking first. It's like, no.
Well, look at it this way. If the first thing that you say about your pick is that he's a grinder, that's a problem. It's like the first thing you say about a fighter is like, yeah, he's tough. He takes a lot of punishment. No, bro.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want, like, as a fighter, if you're the fighter.
Hey, Soto, I want to hook you up with my wife's friend. Oh, really? Tell me about her. Great personality.
Super fucking nice.
Super nice. Whoa, girl. Bro. Very girl. Like, very nice girl. You're like,
that dome game better okay. be strong, if that's the first thing you say.
It's what you're not using to describe the girl that
that's makes what you I'm work. Saying, man. Yeah. It's like a grinder is not the first thing you want to hear about of your first round pick. It's like, oh, we love the kid because he's such a high character guy. No, dude, this guy is a fucking dog on the field. This guy's going to go out there. He's going to make it happen because he's talented. He's got the it factor. That's what we need, is the it factor on the defensive side. Now we have guys in the offense that have it. We need guys in the defense now.
All right. Last thing before we bounce, I've got a list of all the unrestricted free agents with the Raiders. And this was from Monday. So two of the restricted free agent signs, Kendall Vickers, defensive end, resigned, long snapper, Trent Sieg resigned. You know, Daniel Carlson's coming back.
He's going to resign.
He's going to resign. That's for sure. And then after that, it gets a little,
it gets sticky.
You know, there's going to be some hard choices to make. Let's start with running back, Devontae Booker, Theo Reddick. Booker played great. He actually ran for like more yards per carry than Josh Jacobs this season. Mm-hmm. Booker, I like. Theo Reddick, yeah, I can do without. But I think Devontae Booker is someone that's worth bringing back for a couple mil.
Yeah, will he come back for a couple mil? Who knows? Theo Reddick is a not quite as tough Jacobs. It's the same guy. Smaller guy. Just, you know, it's a carbon copy. You don't need it. You need that bigger back. That bigger back that's going to be able to – we need that Tyrone Wheatley.
Yeah.
To Napoleon Kaufman, you know? We need that Tyrone Wheatley guy. Is Booker that guy? I mean, he tried to play like that guy. Is that how he plays? He really wasn't that guy in Denver.
But we also have a sick-ass fullback, too, that can do that role as well.
Can he, though?
I think so.
I mean, why hasn't he been given the opportunity to?
I think it's just because Gruden wants his like lead back. Like he wants like a lead back to do everything.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. I could definitely be wrong. Maybe he didn't have that, falling apart.
He didn't have that lead back his first time around. He had the dual back. So that's, If that's what he's looking for, Booker's not that guy. If he wants to have a Booker's more of a, he's more of a Jacobs than he is, a Tyrone Wheatley type.
Yeah.
So I would, out of those two, if we were going to bring somebody back, I would say we would bring back Booker.
The two wide receivers are Nelson Aguilar and Zay Jones. Zay Jones just finds a way to just hang around. Like the guy, like,
he caught a couple of touchdowns, man. It's like,
right?
Shit.
He does enough where you're like, eh, if we could keep him for cheap, let's keep him. But obviously, Nelson.
You don't hear anything bad about him either.
Yeah.
You don't hear about him missing assignments. You don't hear about him not blocking. Like, I mean, those are things, big things with Gruden. If you're a wide receiver, look. I think Edwards is going to make a huge jump next year.
Hopefully.
That dude was basically an offensive lineman that lined up wide because he just was a great blocker for the run game.
And obviously Nelson Aguilar is one of the biggest, unrestricted free agent question marks for this team. And like I've said, is he a true number one over the other number ones available?
No.
Luckily,
out of those names that you called about a month ago, mm-hmm. of all those, he's in the bottom tier.
But I think that could work well for us in the sense that there's probably 8 to 10 free agent wide receivers as of this second, right? There's some of them be franchise tagged and stuff like that. But as of right this second, before the actual season begins, Aguilar's probably 8 to, top 8, top 10. And then you've got a ton of wide receivers in the draft. Mm-hmm. And with the Raiders like being frankly pretty poor drafters and pretty poor in free agency, when you have something that's working, when you have a guy that's mm-hmm. working in your system, you hold on to him. If we can re-sign Nelson Aguilar for like $6 to $8 million with the cap the way that it is and it being a buyer's market, I think we can do it. I think we can get him for $8 million.
Hopefully closer to $6 million, man.
That would be nice. Eight's high, but.
It's pretty high, man.
He played great.
You're trading Gabe Jackson for Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar played amazing.
But I mean, if I'm going to pay that much money for a one, I'm going to want a true one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to want a one that takes that he's going to be the guy that takes attention away from Ruggs as opposed to the other way around.
Well, you can look at it the other way too, that instead of paying Terrell Williams 11.5 to be the one, now you're paying Aguilar 6 to 8. Look at it that way too. Tight end Derek Carrier and Nick O'Leary, unrestricted free agents. Our tight end room is so good. Like with Witten gone, do you keep
Carrier's
a third one?
Some balls. I mean, Carrier's caught some balls, and he played for special teams. I don't see a problem keeping him around if he's going to be a special teams guy and just add some depth. But I mean, you always need a third. You can't have two because you got the jumbo packages. You're going to use what, a fucking tackle to do it?
And there's so many two tight end sets that John Gruden runs.
Yeah.
Things get interesting again. Offensive line, Denzel Good, Sam Young. Good is crucial.
Good would be probably, he should be one of the guys that they're targeting to get in sooner because there's not a lot of tackles out there. Mm-hmm. Especially one like Good who can play both guard and tackle and play it well. Sam Young, when he's out there and he's not hurt, he did a serviceable job, but he's got he gets hurt a lot. Yeah. He gets hurt a lot. And that's not the type of position where you tend to get healthier as you age. You don't really get in better health as you get older on the offensive line.
Defensive line. Jonathan Hankins, Malik Collins, Kendall Vickers just got re-signed, I think like today or yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Dap McKinley, Vic Beasley. There could be some flyers on those ends. Beasley and McKinley, just throw them in there, rotate them, see if someone delivers.
See, I would say just bring back, bring them back on a prove it contract and see how they do early in preseason. Are they making plays? Are they showing flashes in practice? And if they are okay, then we can see what we got. If not, you just cut them. It's simple as that. See what else is out there. If you cut McKinley and Beasley, and you can get one guy for what you were paying those two for, but the guys maybe a cap casualty somewhere else. That's where you know what, that's what you do. And you and these guys just want, I mean they're looking to put tape out there anyway, so I mean, why not come back? Unless, you know, another team just bites again, but they didn't have really much tape out there, so yeah, I could see them coming back.
Linebacker Nicholas Morrow, Kyle Wilbur, Raekwon McMillan.
Raekwon
Morrow's the Morrow, I think, is like, yeah, no one's talking about Morrow. He played great this season.
No, I've heard a few things about Morrow being rated as the best linebacker for the Raiders last year. Plus, he's fucking fast as hell. He started to pull it together at the end of last year, once we made the switch to Marinelli, and even maybe a couple games before that. So I like Morrow. I like him a lot. You know, I haven't really studied the linebacker market. I've been really focusing on offensive line and defensive line. But I mean, we'll see what the linebacker market looks like. If it's as, you know, the Raiders were able to grab two guys last year. So we'll see, man. We'll see if they can get him. But he might be someone that has to walk because they just want too much money.
Yeah. It's kind of nice that he's been quiet. Like there's not a lot of chatter about Morrow considering like how much he delivered last season. And then let's end with the really depressing part. Defensive backs, Nevin Lawson, Darryl Worley, Eric Harris, and restricted free agent, Dalen Leavitt. I mean, the sad thing is we need depth.
Like, you need bodies, man. You need bodies out there.
You need carbon-based life forms back there. And that's basically all that we have.
Not everyone can be a starter. You need gunners. You need guys that are on field goal and extra point blocking. And you need these quick guys. You need these fast guys. You need bodies out there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, Gus Bradley's sitting there and he's going through the tapes and he's talking to, you know, he's working really closely with Mayock. He's working really closely with Gruden, and they're making their determinations. You know, this guy can be this type of player for me. And I see a lot of this player in this guy. We should think about bringing him back, but very similar to the defensive ends, bring him back for bodies and see what they got. Low price. If we could bring him back for a low price. And if we can, great. Let's see what they got. And if they don't perform, if we find somebody either in the draft or in the scrap heap or, you know, in free agency that can take over the job, we just go from there. Because ultimately, none of these guys are going to be starters.
Next week, I think we'll probably can get into this a little bit more, but just kind of as like a little teaser and have it put on your mind.
Yeah, you tease you.
Our defense could be anything from the worst defense in the league next season to like borderline top 10.
It's possible.
Like considering like all these defensive ends that had flashes of greatness early in their career, they could easily rejuvenate their career. Max Crosby playing healthy. Clay Ferrell has gotten better each season. Corey Littleton, Nick Witkowski, like now that they're under Bradley and they're not lost all day long, could they deliver? You've now got essentially a true second year in Jonathan Abram, you know, Meek Robertson, like all these like the other, you know, first rounders in the DB. Let's say we get like, I think clearly the Raiders are going to have to go after like a really expensive, really good quality free safety. Let's say they get that. And then you know, Gus Bradley's new system, like this could be, it could all be just as bad as last season, or it could all come together amazingly. Like I have no clue what our defense is going to look like next season.
I highly doubt it's going to be anywhere near as bad as it was last year as the bottom. Mm-hmm. As the floor,
I'm hoping again. Well, I say it every single show. Hopefully, Paul Gunther was the poison and not our personnel.
Even if the scheme isn't as sound, which I don't think is the case, he's going to be so much better at game planning and teaching his system that the guys aren't going to be confused. So that's the big positive right there. Number one, I believe we need the free safety that you talked about, right? Maybe an alpha presence in the secondary.
An alpha presence. Oh, that's me.
Great. I would really love a disruptive D tackle, an interior defensive lineman.
Yep.
Somebody doesn't have to be a big sack guy, but somebody who's just a disruptive presence in the front. And we haven't had that in a long time. So let's see what we can slapped together. Out
I know week. You love guys with big sacks, Soto.
Oh, yeah.
Don't big time. Me. Don't got to tell me twice. All right, so we'll get more into that next week. But awesome show today. We'll get a guest next week. Someone to do a little more like insider stuff. I got some questions for some movers and shakers. We'll do that next week. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for checking out the Auto Windbags. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, subscribe to the channel, check us out on YouTube, follow us on social media, and all the different ways you can stay in contact with us. Until next time, later.